Hey everybody, welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. I'm Kim and this is the last freaking episode of HEA Season 7. Let's celebrate.
Woo, I'm Kyle and I got juices, but you gotta flow them.
No. Bad Kyle.
Kim, you ain't gonna fucking cry or something, right?
Kyle, Liz has vanity plates that say Big Ed's girl.
I bet. Do you think Ed bought them for her?
Maybe. I don't know. Like, what does... We'll have to do a deep dive into the psychology. But, like, why would you want people to know that?
When you're driving your Hyundai around San Diego and... Yeah. Oh, that's Big Ed's girlfriend? Oh. Like, what... Yeah, what is the... Why do you want to advertise?
Exactly. It says a lot. I don't know. I mean, it was this episode was very Jovi and Yara heavy. A lot of contrived drama. I love how Jovi keeps bringing it back. Andre would even agree with me on that, wouldn't you, Andre? And he's like, yes, I do believe that property should be in both spouses' names. Yes,
like, I agree with you, but also strip club and you're ugly.
He will not let the strip club thing go. It's really funny.
I think that the producers offered him a bonus. Like, every time you bring up the strip club, you get an extra $10 Amazon gift card or something. It's so stupid. It's just relentless. It never ends. I don't understand it.
I know. It's so dumb. And then, like, this poor bartender, I love how nobody gives a fuck. Like, after they go back to the bar to the after party, nobody cares. Like, Yara's in a flannel, I think, at one point. Kimberly is wearing, like, ripped jeans and a t-shirt. Like, there are just, Liz is the only person trying to dress up.
Angela,
nobody cares.
Angela's nipples out, so she's trying.
Oh, geez, Louise. Yeah, well. That's one way to do it. What do you think the power bike is, Kyle? If you had to describe the power bike, is that a move that you've used in the past?
I mean, I'm trying to just like imagine some kind of sexual position where I'm engaging my knees. And I can't really come up with anything, to be honest. I don't understand what.
And he would have to be on his back in order to move his legs like in a bicycle motion, so that makes me even more confused.
What is he like, is she kind of doing a cowgirl thing but he's using his legs to bounce her?
This is gonna produce some mental images that I did not want. Yeah, that was, I mean, overall, I think I'm just so happy the freaking season's over, but it was a lot of Jovi and Yara. Notice, Kyle, notice that they, not once did they talk about how long Yara was in Europe after Jovi left, because guess what? It was probably 4 freaking days, and then she went home, and it wasn't a big deal, and that's why they never talked about it. The whole season, we get, oh, Yara, she's going to stay. She's never going to come home, and then it's never discussed on the tell-all, and nobody asked about it.
The only thing I was thinking this entire last episode is that Sumit got the best fucking deal of anyone on this tell-all, didn't he? He got
Did they
paid.
Even, I can't. Yeah.
He said 3 sentences in episode Maybe. 1, and that is it. He had nothing to say nothing. Whatsoever the entire rest of the time. I want that. I want that gig.
Yeah, seriously. And then, I mean.
And look, everyone has skeletons in their closet, this tell-all. They could have grilled the shit out of this guy. And he, God, it was 10 minutes, maybe, of Jenny and Sumit, and that was it.
They really got off easy.
They barely grilled him on having, like, a secret baby.
They didn't even talk about her breaking his stomach or his belly button alignment.
Why is Sean Robinson talking about edging with fucking Bilal, but absolutely nobody interrogates Submit about getting his belly button fucked off. Come on.
Yeah. Come on, man. I want to hear more about Kama Sutra yoga. It was funny, though, when they were all the girls except Yara, who has a brain cell, they were sitting down and trying to, you know, talk about the juices flowing and whatever. They were trying to get information out of Jenny, and Jenny was not having it. Like, this is where Kimberly brags about power bike. This is where Angela brags about teaching my cow, like, how to have sex good. And then they're like, Jenny, what do you like? A caress? And she's like, a massage. My neck hurts because I'm old, so he massages it. Like, that's all she said. She will not go into details. And I thought that was really funny.
You know, he's perfect for me, and that's fine, and I like a massage.
They don't ask about the Kama Sutra yoga. That would have been a great time to ask her about that, but they didn't go there. I also love that Kimberly is trying to instigate. She really, really wants somebody to throw a glass of alcohol on somebody else. Doesn't matter who it is. Liz is the obvious, you know, person to pick out, but Kimberly doesn't have a beef with anybody, so she's unable to throw a drink on someone. So she's trying to, she's like, you know what you should do? You know what you should do, Liz? You should just go in there while you're looking snatched and you make a big deal about it. I'm like, this is terrible advice. Terrible. It will just start a fight that will last for hours and everybody will be annoyed. And like, why are you giving this advice?
Kim, Angela, so fucking Angela has better advice than Kimberly.
Dude.
It doesn't, like, yeah. Why? You have Jenny sitting there telling her that she deserves more and that she, please don't go back to him, and just like kind of being encouraging while also shitting on Big Ed. You have Angela telling her, you have Angela telling Kimberly that he's clearly using you and lying to you, and I used to hate you for no good reason, but now that we're friends, this is how you should feel. And Kimberly's advice is to go commit acts of violence. Like, why? Like, why is she the one giving the most toxic advice of anyone at the tell-all?
I don't know. And I also don't know why she cares so much about this Angela and Usman situation. Like, dude, you're not together. Why do you care about Angela's status with Usman? It's completely irrelevant, except at the tell-all. And it won't ever be relevant again. So just like, why are you so invested in Angela apologizing to him or vice versa? It's so silly.
She think that herself and Angela are going to be on HEA season 8? I mean, it's not outside the realm of possibility, so maybe she's trying to patch things up before the inevitable next filming session starts.
Yeah, I mean, I guess she's just trying to keep the door open for that, or set up some drama so that they get asked back. Nobody cares. That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
It is ironic that everybody went into this tell-all, like the entire cast, being like, oh, Angela's here. We all have to stand together against her. She's such a nuisance. We all hate her. And then by the end, everyone hates Ed. Angela has somehow managed to make friends with people. And everybody's just like, we cannot listen to this man speak another word. Please get Ed out of here. We hate him. And I did think that was interesting.
To the point where they're so exhausted by him that they can't even muster up a fake, like, rebuttal to his bullshit for the for drama. I mean, I'm sure the TLC producers are waiting on hand and foot for someone to really engage him and have something juicy happen. But he's so transparently a ridiculous human being. By the end, they're literally just laughing at him and shutting him down and just, Ed, don't fucking talk. Go away. What are you doing? He's a petulant child that they're swatting away like an annoying dog that's begging for scraps or something. Please, sir, may I start some drama? No, fuck off. Nobody cares.
And the bar is so, like, the space that they're in is so small at that after party that literally when Jovi's like, fuck off, go away,
He just walks 2 feet.
The only thing Ed can do is, he like walks 2 feet and turns 90 degrees. Like that's the only way that there is to get away from each other there. I thought that was really funny.
It was.
Can you name the most popular answers to 5 items you might find on a work desk? What about occasions where people might give a gift or types of insurance? Popular answers only. Fun Frenzy Trivia is a free mobile trivia game with over 60 different categories, including music, TV, animals, and celebrities. If you choose the most popular answers to each question and beat the clock, you move on to the next level. It sounds simple, but the questions get harder over time. But if you get stuck, don't worry. You can use coins and gems to get hints and beat the level. If you love trivia like I do, you'll love Fun Frenzy Trivia. I really love trivia games, and when I have a few minutes to myself, like if I'm in the waiting room at a doctor's office or a dentist office, or even if I'm at a complete standstill at a drive-thru, I just love kind of opening up the app, playing a couple rounds of a fun trivia game, and this one's really fun. Fun Frenzy Trivia is an exciting brand new game on the App Store from the creators of the number one trivia app, Trivia Star. Download Fun Frenzy Trivia today to challenge yourself. Just go to Apple or Google Store and search for Fun Frenzy Trivia. Download Fun Frenzy Trivia for free today and get ready to flex your brain muscles.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Kyle, do you want to just start from the beginning and do a little play-by-play?
Yeah, I mean...
Usman and Michael.
Usman says he would rather die than not fight back with Angela. And it just, like, your pride is not going to help with a person like her. It's a pride supernova. It's like two celestial... It's like the moon crashing into the earth. That's not going to fucking do anything to fight back. It's so stupid.
I thought this was the funniest segment, this first 3 minutes, because Usman deduces that Angela knows I'm smarter than you, Michael, and that's why. She doesn't want us to hang out. Like, I'm smarter than you. She knows this. And Michael doesn't fight back at all. And then he says, well, Michael's a child that can't control himself on social media, so I do understand why Angela forbade it.
Michael seems very, very dumb. But, and look, Usman is not some pillar of intellect, but the guy has made a sort of name for himself, banging oldies and singing about totally different women. So I don't know. The guy, he's doing, is he international superstar? No, but he's doing fine for himself. Unlike Michael, who gets blowjobs doing Lyft.
He's dependent on Angela.
Yeah. He is. Well, no, I mean, look, to be fair, she has made him dependent on her with her abusive bullshit.
Yeah, that's correct. But I thought these first few minutes were really funny. Usman is right, though. He's like, look, I never had an issue with Angela. She's the one that came for me. She called me a scammer. And, like, that's why I retorted. I didn't ever say anything or mention her name. Nothing. You know, I didn't stand in front of the mirror and say Beetlejuice. Like, she just came after me to start something. So, I don't know. I just thought these two obviously have hung out and they know each other really well. Like, Usman gets out. He knows exactly, or Michael knows exactly where Usman is. And he just walks a couple doors down and acts like he just saw this dude like an hour ago. He's
no,
like, oh, hey.
Kim, it's a different hotel. Didn't you listen to Michael?
Yeah. Everybody believes that, Michael. Everybody. Can we talk about like the biggest drama with Jovi and Yara that could be solved? Is like, why don't they just put Mila in daycare. They keep talking about like Gwen's having to drive 2 hours each way to babysit. Why is this a thing? They have money. Get a fucking nanny or like put Mila in a preschool for 2 days a week. Problem solved. This is not hard. Isn't the kid like three? Like, I understand when she was a baby or it was like super, you know, protective about it, but like, come on, man. Gwen is not the only human capable of taking care of this child for 2 days a week so Yara can get some work done. Nobody on this show seems capable of figuring out fucking childcare. It's so frustrating.
It's really odd that almost everyone in the cast that at least talks during this part seems to implicitly shame Yara for not being around Mila 24/7. As if it's really strange. She gets very offended and emotional. There's this really clear insinuation, you know, by a lot of people. Andre, you know, kind of starts this, that she just abandons Mila with Gwen and doesn't give her enough attention or something. And she looks like she's going to rage cry. And this is really infuriating. She reminds everyone, I'm working. I need my time too. It's just bizarre that I don't know, like, where these people live that you can just not put your child in the care of any other human being until what, they go to kindergarten or something? It's just wild to me that there's this. Even if they don't say it, all the questioning, even by Sean Robinson, of the way that Yara manages her time with Mila is like really insulting and strange.
Yeah, I just don't understand what almost every working mother I know has a lot of help with childcare. There's either daycare, they have a babysitter that they can call, they have a part-time nanny. I mean, it's just like working parents need childcare. This is not unique to Yara. And she does start crying and it's really frustrating. And then freaking Ed comes in like, I'm going to be a hero of women for a second. And he's like, you know, it's just unfair the pressure we put on women. Like, she's got to work and raise the kids and like make dinner for her husband and then keep her man happy. And I'm thinking, who the fuck expects a woman to do all this, Ed? Only you.
Yeah, well,
nobody expects that.
Ed's fucking solution to that problem is to tell Liz to not work. Women to work and take care of the kids, and it's a double standard. My solution is don't allow them to work. That fixes the problem.
Then you can control them much more easily. I mean, even if Yara weren't working, expecting her to be Mila's caretaker for 24/7, I think, is a lot. Like, you need some time to go, I don't know, get your hair done, go on a walk without your child, like, go just have some time to yourself. And the fact that the whole cast shames her is really frustrating. They have, like, Jovi makes good money. I don't understand why they don't just put her in a really good daycare, like 2 days a week, or get a part-time nanny to come watch her at home if that's what you're comfortable with. But it's just, it's really frustrating.
It's such an
easily solvable problem.
The root of this is that Andre desperately wants to fuck Yara. That's what this is about.
Why did you say that?
He just endlessly goes after Jovi in a way that just feels so fucking fake and weird. And he's like, Jovi, you're not best looking in the relationship. He basically calls Jovi really ugly. Tell him he can't leave his daughter ever to go on safari, even though he's gone 6 months out of the year working. This is Yara's. But Yara's fault. She encouraged this behavior. If I was married to Yara, I shirtless clean pool, drink Yingling beer, and put more baby inside.
Did we just turn into Georgie? Is this in preparation for Darson's taste?
That's our Arch Andre. Yeah.
That's great.
I really enjoyed the horror on everyone's face when Andre just straight up calls Jovi ugly.
That was, according to Angela, he is model. What did she say? Model yeah. level gourd. I was like, that's just like he went too far. Now we know that's not sincere. I mean, like, yeah. Shida even says, I think you're an attractive guy, Jovi. Jovi's like, I do not have any qualms about my level of attractiveness. I'm fine. So, I mean, Jovi also wants a second child. This is a big topic. And Gwen, again, this is going back to the childcare thing. Gwen's like, they always need a babysitter. How are they going to have two? Well, at that point, like, if you get a babysitter, doesn't the babysitter just watch, like, the two kids instead of one kid?
They make these fucking people. If Yara is as successful as she claims that she is, and we know Jovi's making a shitload of money, these people are making, like, 400 grand a year.
That is way off. Way off. Jovi makes six figures. He's not making $400,000 a year. That's nuts.
If Yara, I think you're wrong. I didn't say Jovi's making 400 grand. I'm saying if Yara has enough cash around to even entertain just buying a condo, YOLO, and from what we've seen, Jovi's around like the 200,000 range. All I'm saying is that these fucking people can afford childcare. That's all I'm saying, Kim.
Yeah, I agree that they can. Glassdoor says he makes about 120. I think that's more in the range. They live in Louisiana. The cost of living is not high. And I feel like Yara, I feel like she makes some money. I just don't feel like she can be making much from her online shop. The margins are so thin. I don't know. Maybe she is. What the fuck do I know? But yes, your point is they have plenty of money to like send Mila to daycare a few days a week or full time if they need to. If that's what Yara needs to. I don't know how any woman works without full time daycare. How do you get, if you work full time, you need full time childcare. That's it. Like, it's pretty simple. I just don't. Okay. So Jovi wants a second child. I don't know that there's much to say here. People all agree that Jovi wants to impregnate. They use the word impregnate. Jovi wants to impregnate Yara so that she's trapped. That's a basic consensus.
Angela, oh, I mean, at some point in this back and forth, Angela says the most intelligent thing that she's ever said on any of these tell-alls, because Ed is trying to chime in with his whole bullshit about double standards with women. And she replies to him like something really, really important and poignant, which is, Ed, you always take up for other women, but you never stick up for Liz. And it's fucking annoying. Yeah. And he really doesn't have anything to say. He just, I don't even remember what he just spews something random and, unintelligible. And then there's this back and forth. They kind of start talking about the fight that Jovi had with Gwen. And they really just rehash what happened, but nothing is really resolved. And then Sean Robinson rings the, well, it's time to move on bell. And that's kind of it.
This does explain a lot, though. Gwen does confirm that she lives 2 hours away from them. And it just makes me wonder, remember when Yara found the apartment that they still live in? I don't think they've moved since that. Why was Yara, why wasn't Gwen employed to help her look for an apartment closer to Gwen? Because Jovi was overseas at this time. And
it was all Yara's decision.
Yeah, but like, why would you, if you know that you need grandma's help, why would you move 2 hours away? I think, I'm sorry, Yara, but like, some of this is on you. If I had a family member and I knew that I needed their help with childcare and that my husband was traveling like literally 50% of the time, I would probably move next door to that person. Like, to be clear, I mean, it would make her life a lot easier. I just assume it's in an undesirable, what Yara thinks is an undesirable, like, part of Louisiana, but I don't know. It just they.
I don't. Yeah, I don't know what the geography is. Like maybe moving closer. I assume that Yara doesn't want to live in the same town as Gwen because it is in swamp. So
yeah,
and you know they got really fucked up by storms and flooding constantly. Do you remember she had to rebuild half her house? But so she doesn't want to live there. And I just don't know the geography enough to know if there's any towns between New Orleans and where Gwen is that Yara would even remotely consider living in.
Yeah, I'm very ignorant of Louisiana, but
it could all be swamp wood.
They should have discussed that, though. And then it was even crazier that Gwen said she bought property to be closer to Yara and Joby so she could help. By the way, Joby and Yara rent. So that's just crazy in and of itself. It sounds like these people just don't communicate. Like, hey, we might be moving to Florida. Maybe you shouldn't buy property. But Yara's like, well, you know, Milo's going to be in school soon, so we don't need you anymore, Gwen. See you later. Going to Florida. That was so mean.
Yeah. This is weird.
Yeah.
What? You could be on the beach in Florida. What's the problem?
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds bad on paper, but I just don't really buy this drama with Gwen because Jovi has to have told her 1,000 times that Yara fucking hates Louisiana and there's no way that Gwen should have not known that they wouldn't be there forever. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's weird. If I told my mom, I fucking hate clearing snow all the time, and then she buys a house down the street, I don't know if I would feel like it was my fault if I wanted to go back to the place where there's sun and heat.
We do get some kind of discourse around the property that Yara wanted to buy in Prague. And Ed is just like infuriating during the segment. He's saying that they should have never gotten married.
Control your woman.
Yeah, really gross stuff. Like, well, it's Joby's fault that he can't. You need to be a man and be able to control your family. This is just.
It's so hard. Red pill shit. It's so hard being a woman. There's all these double standards. Joby, why are you such a fucking pussy? Control your woman.
He calls Joby a pussy like 16 times. He contradicts himself. It's so irritating. And nobody's really listening to him. But Liz also then says, well, it sounds like you're looking for an escape route. Yara's like, I don't need an escape route. If I want to divorce Joby, I'll be like, bye.
I'll just divorce him. I'll divorce him and take half his money. It's not hard. I think that Liz might have been projecting a little bit because she might literally need an escape fucking Cessna.
Well, how many times does Liz say, like, later on, oh, yeah, I'm so glad that I have my own apartment and I'm not dependent on Ed because, where would I go? It's like, yes, Liz.
Yes, that's the point.
That is the lesson. He wanted to control you. Correct. But, it's so frustrating. She did mention she was working or she was going to go back and work really hard. So I'm like, thank God that you still have a freaking job. So, yeah, I don't know. That was this could all be just solved so easily with some childcare and invest. I don't know. The whole Prague real estate thing just doesn't pass the smell test for me. And the Florida thing sounds like it will probably happen.
Is Symphony the one that got arrested for selling meth?
I don't know.
I don't think it was her. The other chick that they have the flashback, one of Yara's fake friends.
Allegedly.
Look, she's been arrested and charged. Yeah, I mean, innocent until proven guilty. But apparently she was like selling hardcore drugs.
Yeah.
Hardcore.
I mean, that was a rent-a-friend, right? Symphony looks looks healthy.
okay.
I mean, I just can't. What do
She's
I know?
She's not actively in the process of dying. What? She looks healthy.
I mean, I'm just saying she doesn't. It doesn't appear that she's doing meth.
She has all her teeth. I don't know that much, so. You know.
She does. Yeah. She does. They're very white. Jovi is saying he doesn't like, again, Symphony's influence. And Symphony thinks that Jovi just doesn't like that she's a single mom. And Yara sees that she could do things on her own. And she should have a backup plan. It's all this influence, though, Kyle. People influencing Yara.
I mean, I agree with Symphony. I think that...
You think she should have a backup plan?
Well, I don't... Not necessarily, but I think that's why Jovi is uncomfortable around her, assuming that she's an actual real friend. She sees that she's making it work as a single mom, and let's be real, I think Yara definitely could, too. It'd be a pain in the ass, but she could figure it out, and Jovi is uncomfortable with that. I think that... while a lot of the time that about specific fights that they have, he's probably in the right because Yara also is just kind of weird about the way she approaches things sometimes. Ultimately, I think Jovi's motivation isn't that much far off from Bilal. He's just better at masking the real thing. He's a very traditional guy. And if that works in your marriage, fine. He married someone a little bit more independent and non-traditional, and I think that he wants to try to rein that in, I think is the reality. And so when he's like, you're a bad influence, it's insulting because it just makes Yara sound like she's as dumb as Shida. Shida is easily influenced. And whereas with Yara, like when Jovi says she's easily influenced, He's calling her stupid when she's just not.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody would claim, I think, that Yara's dumb. I think this is the point where we have the mutiny against Ed. Because Ed's take is you should have never gotten married instead of, Yara and Jovi shouldn't have gotten married. Jovi's the provider. He doesn't know how to manage his family. He's not man enough to manage his family. He's a pussy. He says that several times. And Jovi's finally like, pretty calmly, he's like, shut up, Ed. You're an idiot. And Jenny gets really upset. But why? Jenny get so upset?
She's just seen enough. It's like... You're coming after everyone, and I don't understand the this is the type of person that almost none of these people would ever have in their life. You know, I can't imagine being friends with someone like Ed. And so this is really, I think, the first time that people like Jenny in particular, who are very low-key and I think kind of passive, these people are not forced to interact with people like Ed ever. If they run into someone like him, they're like, okay, bye. And they just never would talk to them again, right? They can't escape right now. And so I think Jenny just loses it a little bit. I mean, she doesn't say anything wrong, obviously, and everyone's team Jenny, and we're all proud of her. But this is... she never has to deal with a person like this.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It was funny later, too. Kimberly said, Jenny's very namaste, and she just loses her shit on Ed. Ed, like, what does she even say? She's like, shut up, shut up. Just keeps telling him to Anyway, everybody hates Ed so much. It's so clear. And later on, Ed says, well, everybody was coming after me. I'm like, actually, nobody was really coming after you. And he also makes the comment that Liz was instead of supporting me, was trying to bury me all day or something. I'm like, we didn't see Liz say a single thing against you this entire second day.
She essentially,
that I can remember.
She essentially pretended that he didn't exist. And if she had advice to give people, it didn't have anything to do with Ed. Again, I think that this was, I actually do have some hope that Ed is done with the franchise. And I wouldn't put it past TLC at all to bring him back, but the way that the rest of the cast reacted to him was so different than the way they reacted to Angela. With Angela, it was like palpable, the tension at first, and there was drama, and there was, you know, back and forth. Then there was this sort of weird Angela redemption arc they were trying to push. She was involved in different ways throughout the whole thing, but other than the fact that it's just Angela and she's triggering and she's just a terrible person, she wasn't oppressive after the first episode. With Ed,
the beginning of the first episode, too.
Ed, he's just lingering around. It's so clear that he's trying to start shit, but it's not working. It just didn't work. He didn't gel. Like, the drama didn't play out in an interesting way. And by the end, whenever he chimes in, they're so disgusted with him that they don't engage. And that's what TLC wants. They want engagement between the people. Yeah. And he's so ridiculous and gross and hypocritical and so transparently projecting onto everyone else. Even Andre is just like, Ed, shut up. And just they just ignore him. And he's a pest, and it's just not entertaining.
Yeah. That's you're very right. Like, nobody is actually engaging with Ed at all, especially on stage. They're basically just telling him to shut up. Like, his takes are so bad, you don't even really need a rebuttal. It's just like, go away. You're like a fly buzzing around trying to make, we know exactly what you're doing.
The only person that actually tries to engage him is Jovi at the party, and then Ed doesn't want to talk.
Yeah, only if it's positive. Only if it's positive, Jovi.
What can you possibly say positive about you?
I know. Nothing.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So apparently we have, you know, hit the point where we need content so badly we have to have a second after party at the same exact location, and everybody, you can tell, is just, these people are over it. They are so tired. They're at the same bar. I mean, what happens at this after party? People are exhausted. There's not a whole lot going on. Jovi tries to talk to Ed. It doesn't last but 2 seconds. Ed goes into a corner 5 feet away from Jovi. And then, like, Jenny, Liz, Kimberly, they kind of sit down in a different corner and have a long conversation. But this is so frustrating because Liz is talking shit now, but we all can see that she totally expected to go with Ed immediately the next morning.
Right.
Because until Ed texts the producer and says, change your plane ticket, she's not coming with me to Boston, she was planning on going to Boston. And she cries when he asks them to change her ticket. So we can tell this is just like, I don't know, this is just lip service she's given right now. It's really frustrating.
I wonder if the reason she was so emotional about it is, like, after all that, he's still trying to abuse and manipulate me and leave me here. And I feel like she probably wanted to be the one to tell him to go fuck himself. And he's like trying to take the initiative by making this text. And I don't know. But you're right in that did she plan to continue on to Boston with him even after all of this? I'm not sure, but him being the one to send that text, I think really pissed her off. I understand why. It's just, I don't know. I don't know why she even gives him the time of day or even speaks to him at all.
Yeah, it's just really frustrating that I feel like she expected Ed to beg her to go to Boston.
But that's not his MO. It never has been. He always uses abuse and manipulation to get his way, and fake ass apologies that last 10 minutes before he does something else shitty.
No, I know. That's why I'm like, why would she think that he would ever do that? I just, like, Kimberly's advice is terrible. Kimberly's advice is like, go in there and make a scene and throw a drink. And while you're looking hot, you say, fuck you, man. And like, walk out and you're done.
Because that's what she would literally do with Usman. That's throw milkshakes and wine all over the place.
So bad. But like, Liz is never going to do that. So what are we doing here? I mean, she's totally, what do you think Liz and Kimberly's relationship is like once they're back in San Diego? Do they hang out or is Liz like,
no,
yeah, I'm going to go back to Ed?
No, they don't hang out at all. And we know that Liz is still, there's debate on if Liz and Ed are actually together. They were spotted, but yeah, I don't know. But ultimately, it seems like they're still hanging out and at least still friends. So how could Kimberly be friends with Liz if she's still hanging out with that with fucking Mucinex man?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good question.
You got a brother? I want to explore tonight. I want to explore.
We also watched Bilal defend Ed again, saying hurt people hurt people. And Shida's like, yeah, Liz needs to leave. That was just, it's like, all right, great take.
And then we get the power bike and how's everyone's sex life conversation, which Jenny is so uncomfortable. She's like,
he's good. It was great for me. Sex is good. Okay.
I got the juices. You got to blow them. It's got the juice. I got juice. You just got to play with.
Look,
Liz, you fucking cry or something when you have sex with Ed.
Oof. It's so gross. I just,
Peak HEA right here. Peak HEA.
Yeah. This kind of like it embodies HEA. How cringy it is. I kind of gained more respect for Jenny in that she didn't bite and she was so uncomfortable. And she's like, yeah, I'm not doing that. This is where Liz lets everybody know that she's getting her vanity plate soon. And they say, Big Ed's girl.
Uh-huh.
I would get those changed ASAP or just get rid of your car. Whatever's
burn
easiest.
Burn your car.
Just
burn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, something just occurred to me. This tell-all is 6 hours long.
Yeah.
I kind of blame all of you guys that watched the leak a couple years ago for this.
We did say.
Because you're all of you fucking people that were like, 10 hours, it was awesome. This was, I loved every second of 10 hours. Fuck all y'all.
That's true. Touche. I mean, we were so desperate to fill up these 2 hours that we get 20 minutes of Big Ed packing up his room, talking about his $13,000 engagement ring. Nobody believes that, Ed. And then we see people leaving the hotel in the morning. Nobody wants to watch this. I mean, why? I just...
Kim and Angela having a 10-minute... heart-to-heart, woman-to-woman talk about whose man is the biggest scammer or something. I don't know.
It's really bad. And we see like Liz again, like in the next morning. This is why I call Frauden. Liz says she's pissed that Ed isn't going back to San Diego with her, that they had agreed to go home to San Diego with her. I'm like, when did you agree on this? Before the tell-all? After the first day of the tell-all? After, you know, Big Ed told the producer that he should change Liz's flight? Which, by the way, shouldn't the producer, like, wait for Liz to tell them what she wants to do? Like, why are you taking orders from Ed?
Did you read the text message that Ed sent about Pepto-Bismol?
No, please, no.
So
please tell me.
They show Liz's phone when she's reading this text, this group text to her and the producers. And, you know, it says, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't want Liz, book the flight, whatever. We know that one. But if you pause and look at the previous text, it's Ed demanding, and this is in a group text to the producers and Liz. It's Ed asking for two small bottles of pink Pepto-Bismol to be in the green room.
What is wrong with this guy's digestion?
Why do you need two small bottles? Is he gonna take one with him on the plane to Boston or something? So weird.
Also, is that all the other cast members making weird requests like this?
You probably I'm sure the producer, like, they're gonna be there for like two fucking days filming. They probably do have to ask them, hey, do you need like any kind of over-the-counter meds to so that you don't die backstage? I don't know.
Yeah. Dear God. I mean, again, why is this guy drinking so much Pepto-Bismol?
I would ask for whiskey and Tums, you know, if I was back there.
They are, like, I would not be able to sit for that long for two straight days. I honestly wouldn't be able to. I would have to walk around at some point.
Kim, like, I would be fine. I've trained my entire life for something like that. This is like what we were talking about, how you train for Everest, this tell-all. I'm so fucking ready to sit for 8 hours for 2 days. I'd be a goddamn champion.
The only thing we really see the next morning that's notable is that, like, Jovi is mad at Yara, and Yara's trying to joke with him about the swamp and alligators outside waiting for the Uber. And Jovi's like,
you
not having
never
it. He's really pissed.
Apologize to me.
Jovi just kind of blames Yara for everything that goes wrong in their life in general. And it seems like Yara is in a decent mood, and he's just really butthurt about everything. And I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, she should have probably apologized. She laughed at a lot of inappropriate stuff around the friends, but I just assumed that was all fake for TV.
And I could believe. So Yara claimed that she didn't really understand what her friends were saying, and
I believe that.
Yeah, saying out of their league is an American expression. I could believe that she didn't get that they were shitting on him. But
yeah, she doesn't understand baseball. Why would she? I agree with that. I don't know. And then things just end.
It just ends.
Except Angela threatens to file for divorce, but that doesn't mean she's going to sign.
Because that's what
and
you
so
do.
This,
that, should everyone just file for divorce and just keep those papers around? Because then you can just sign and then you're done right there. You just keep them. They should give you the divorce papers when you get married. And then you just sign them when you're ready. Why not?
This means, though, they're setting her up for another season.
Right.
Because, you know, she's teasing it.
Oh, and she's going to have to fly to Nigeria so that he'll sign it.
I just,
because there's no way, there's no technology available that would solve this age-old problem of signing documents in another place.
They're not married in America, so how does she file for divorce? She has to go to Nigeria. How is she going to file for Nigeria divorce? Like,
obviously she has to fly there.
Angela.
She has to fly there and deal with it in person.
I'm sure she'll hire a very young and handsome male translator for her to navigate the bureaucracy in Nigeria in order to file.
Bilal's,
the end.
Bilal's,
good riddance. I'm just,
Bilal's so manipulation crazy. Is still working on Shida. He wants to blow a load in her with roses and chocolate, and she's all Twitter-pated about it for 10 minutes until
she
the real...
She's
until
pregnant
the,
in the morning.
I know. Until the real Bilal will be back very soon. And yeah, the cycle continues. And that's really the theme of HEA. The cycle continues.
The end.
The end.
Thanks for everybody for listening. Kyle and I could not be more excited that Toe is starting next week. We are so excited. So excited. Thank God that this is over. I think we've all had enough. And I just want to see this old woman fall off a donkey. I don't even remember what country they're in. I don't even care. I think it might be Ecuador. It might be Egypt. I literally have no recollection, but it's going to be better than 8 hours of tell-all of HEA. I am so pumped for it. It's going to be great.
Someone asked a really good question in our group, and that is, who was this for?
I think you nailed it, Kyle. I think 2 or 3 years ago, whenever it was, that we had the tell-all leak, and I was like, they should just release all this footage. That's when we had David and Usman. I feel like the two of them were talking about really weird shit, and a lot of people were, look, we were just excited because it's a leak, and it's stuff that they didn't want us to see. But I do think that's where this came from. I think you nailed it, and it's our fault.
I think it's a combination of that and how much buzz the Love is Blind after parties generate. I think they looked at that and said, yeah, we should totally get them all drunk. That would be awesome, right? And I just, the parties, like, I don't know. It's just, maybe the format actually isn't bad, but you can't have these people. You can't take a format and shove the worst people that everyone hates and is sick of seeing in. It's a square peg round hole thing. And maybe if they had gotten the cast of Before the 90 Days Wasted with like Gino and Jasmine just fucking
that would have been fun.
Absolutely shit-faced in Times Square with little incel Mike, that would might have been, maybe that would have been entertaining. But man, yeah.
It didn't work. And honestly, I think it could have worked with a more likable cast that were like Gino and Jack. What you just described, I would probably watch 6 hours of that. But it's still not. People are over the seat. That's why I don't think TLC is hearing from everyone. HEA, 6 months is too much. It's too much. This
way
should be a
much.
1 hour show for a couple months, or it should be like on Monday night. This is, you know, from the ratings, you know, this is not the show that you want in your highlight, your premiere spot on Sunday night. We want Before the 90. We want Toe and maybe a little bit of classic 90 Day. But even that, like, people really want Before the 90. That's what we want.
HEA should have been relegated to a web series the minute that Discovery Plus launched. It really should have.
Yeah, it's true.
It should be something we talk about in evidence for 10 minutes.
I agree. Hopefully we won't see much more of it. You know, fingers crossed, we're getting Toe. I'm focused on the next thing. Excited about it.
Optimistic going forward. Yeah, optimism going forward. If you want a podcast that's twice as long and we talk about super, super fun shows, you can go to realitycraycray.com, $5, sign up for our premium content. We're covering Love Without Borders. We tried MILF Manor. It was so bad that we will never talk about that again, but it was fun to shit on it. And we got Darcy and Stacy coming up, Brother Husbands.
Yay.
All sorts of absurd content is over on our premium feed at realitycraycray.com. Go over there, sign up. It's really quick. It's super easy. And you get access to our Facebook group where lots of fun discussions happen.
And no ads.
Nope. None of those.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Wrapping up HEA Season 7. Cannot wait for next week. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.